Higher Human Performance, the podcast, episode 271. Welcome to Higher Human Performance. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio, where we do our business here. This is episode 271. Today, it's about service and value, the no matter what approach to leadership. Higher Human Performance is brought to you by my company, Bula, BULANetwork.com. Bula Network is a boutique executive coaching and consulting firm. But enough about that. It's about leadership. Leadership is learned, whether it's by experience, trial and error, books, mentors, bosses, coaches. You know, we all have to learn it. There may be natural born skills and there may be some natural born qualities and personalities that are befitting leadership, but we've still got to learn it. We've just got to learn it. I don't believe in managing people. Maybe it's just a semantical annoyance to me, but it smacks of manipulation and control when people talk about managing other people. As a business builder, I wanted to manipulate and control products and processes. Inventory control. Okay, well, that's an activity that includes the term control. A business with inventory has to manipulate that inventory or they won't be able to operate profitably. So I believe in managing products and processes and work and, yes, inventory. But when it comes to people, and when it comes to people, I believe in leading. That includes training, developing, supporting, serving. Well, and it also involves accountability. Executives, organizational leaders, are most often dual role workers. By that, I mean they have to manage work, all forms of work, and they also have to simultaneously lead people. The fundamental job of every executive is to make high-value decisions. If you are a leader, if you are an executive in any organization, that's what you're paid to do. You're paid to make high-value decisions. And so that means the decisions must be made quickly and accurately. But there's a lot more to it. Because making a good, even a great decision, that requires A, due diligence in gathering valid information. If you make a decision based on faulty information, it's going to be a bad decision. B, it requires wise discernment of the options and the choices. Every decision presents choices. Some of those choices, they can range from foolish to wise. Well, you've got to be able to discern which are which. C, these decisions require sufficient speed. You can't just take your leisurely time with every decision. Some decisions demand we do something right now. Others, they can be planned. They can be contemplated over a longer period of time. But whatever the speed is, whatever sufficient speed is required, that's what you'd better meet. D, making good, great decisions requires proper, efficient execution. I could make a great decision as a leader, but if the organization can't or won't execute it properly, how good a decision was it? And finally, E, it requires comprehensive follow-through and accountability. So many people make a great decision, then they set out to execute it, and then next they move on. And there wasn't sufficient follow-through to really see the whole thing through to the finish line and make sure that it was a great decision with great execution. There are some smaller steps within each one of those, by the way. But that is the general overview that I would give you of the decision-making process. Due diligence in gathering valid information, wise discernment of the options or the choices, sufficient speed, proper efficient execution, and finally, comprehensive follow-through and accountability. This is the central activity of every executive, and it is where we provide value for our organization. We are paid to make good decisions that bring value to the organization. Yes, that means problem solving. Yes, it may mean putting out fires. Whatever the decisions are, that's what it means. And the better our decision making, the more value we can bring to the organization. The more value we bring to the organization, the higher our own value. Executive careers, they rise and they fall based on our ability to make good decisions. And that includes our ability to execute those decisions, because the execution is where our decisions are tested and proven to either be foolish or to be wise. Now, all along the way in this process, people are involved. And we involve people from the get-go. We involve people in the information gathering phase. Intelligence isn't just a matter of facts and figures. It's insight. It's intuition provided by other people. It's experience. It's know-how. When I enter an organization, I'm interested in finding out the collective experience of the team. And these days in my work, it's fairly common for me to encounter a top leader of a team with team members more experienced in the organization or even in the industry than the leader. Now, that's intelligence that the executive can put to good use if he or she will do that. The final decision is going to rest on the executive. But the wise leader is going to rely on this collective wisdom and experience of other people as they gather information and as they explore the various options that might be available before they decide. The more a leader can effectively use that collective wisdom to benefit the process, the better. People are also involved in the execution of the decision. Leaders need strong, capable people with a high degree of willingness in order to carry the load of getting this thing done properly. It doesn't matter how great the decision is on paper. If people can't or won't execute it, it's a bad decision. And so the people doing the work need and they deserve good leadership to serve and support them in their work to execute the decision. Service and value, these are the two major drivers behind effective leadership. Not ego, not control, not manipulation, not ambition or promotion. Every leader's worth is determined by the positive impact they have on the organization. It's not merely about doing the work or in doing the work real well. You know, pretty regularly, very regularly, I will hear executives lament about some team member somewhere down in the food chain, some team member whose work product is perfectly fine. In some cases, people will tell me, her work product is just superb. It's superior. But they'll go on to tell me stories about how difficult this person is to work with or to work alongside, how high maintenance they are, all the problems that erupt because this person displays a poor attitude. They may have a caustic demeanor. They may have poor communication skills. It's rare. It is rare for such a person to remain part of any team because their value, the work product, it's diminished. And it's diminished by their liabilities. So when the top brass start looking at this person and they go, well, their work product's really good, but you know, they're hacking off this person and that person and they've created this problem and that problem. And you just weigh them in the balance and you realize they're wanting, the liabilities outweigh the value. Well, it can be the very same way with an executive who may be able to make great decisions, but they lessen, they lower their value due to these offsetting negative behaviors. Service and value. Service and value. These are game-changing ideas in the life of every truly effective leader. They characterize the very best leaders, mostly because they're not self-serving. By putting the focus on helping other people succeed, the effective leader finds new levels of personal success. Listen, it's much easier to talk about than it is to do it. But if you can find the path to commit to it, it can change everything, and it can put your executive career on a new trajectory that you may have never even thought possible. It's a competitive edge, and it's a competitive edge on two fronts. One, it's so uncommon. And number two, it produces positive results that are difficult to match. Where's your value as a leader? Well, it's in your value to serve your organization by helping others succeed or achieve results that they would not otherwise achieve if you weren't there. It's in your ability to invest in good or great decision-making and in propelling other people forward in the work. And it's not easy work. And it's not work that you're ever going to finish. This is not a once-and-done deal. Effective leaders can't hide. They can't lose focus. They can't grow slack in their work. Well, what's so hard about it? All the constraints, all the hurdles, all the roadblocks that get in the way. And that's just for starters. There's also the hostility of the environments and the circumstances. Maybe it's a down economy. Maybe it's rising interest rates. Maybe it's restricted budgets. Maybe it's limited resources. Maybe it's broken machinery. Maybe it's bad weather. There are a ton of these unforeseen firestorms, and they can crop up out of nowhere. I mean, just when we thought we had things under control, just when we thought things were going swimmingly, and all of a sudden, bam, our knees are knocked out from under us. And just to prove to us how fallible and how vulnerable we really are. These are humility makers. And so these things and more also provide for us excuses. And most of us have used one or more of those kinds of things as an excuse. I mean, some people rely on these very often. You hear it when a retailing company says that sales would have been better last month, but, you know, we had record rainfall, you know, I mean, the weather. You hear it when a sales organization complains that an arch rival is undercutting prices with predatory marketing practices. You know, well, they're just cutting their margins to the bone, and there's no way that they can possibly sustain that. But that's what's digging into our sales. You hear it when a logistics leader complains that competent truck drivers are just almost impossible to hire. Well, we'd do a lot better, but we just can't get good help. Managers must manage. Leaders must lead. Those are just short quips for the practical reality that every effective leader must eventually learn. And that is, you must perform no matter what. Now, that doesn't mean that you do whatever it takes by cutting corners, compromising integrity, sacrificing ethics, or breaking the law. And nor does it mean that you do whatever it takes by trampling on people, by alienating partners, or cheating customers. No, it means that you perform acts of service and value regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the environment. No matter what is the acid test. No matter what. Now, many people claim that they do this or that. If only something else were in play. Yeah, we would have hit our quota last month if only the weather would have been better. I'd be more decisive if my divisional president, if I knew that she would support me, I'd be real decisive. If I just had a budget 10% higher, I'd be able to execute a much better strategy. Any of those things sound familiar to you? Sure they do. We've all heard those things. Sometimes we hear them coming out of our own mouth. These are examples of leaders who've yet to learn the no matter what way to effective leadership. Honestly, I think it's the only strategy. I don't think it's a strategy. I think it's the only strategy to effective leadership. I'm not saying that other styles or methodologies won't produce positive numbers. Listen, I have seen autocratic tyrants, absolute tyrants, dictators in the workplace. I have seen them produce record-setting sales and profits. I have seen Class A, and you know what A stands for, jerks, who produced record-setting sales and profits. So don't tell me that poor leaders can't produce some great results. I've seen it. You've probably seen it too. But I don't know that they're sustainable over the long haul. Because you can cost cut your way to a record profit, only to find yourself somewhere down the road fighting for your financial life. And it can only take, it could take a quarter, it could take a couple of quarters down the line for that price to be paid. Short-term success can be had by just about any method out there. And that's where the no matter what methodology trumps all others. It's uncompromising. It's unwavering. It always does the right thing. And I'm defining the right thing as what's best serving the organization, what best serves the people in the organization who help make the organization successful. Now, that doesn't mean that all the people on the team of an effective leader that they agree with or that they are pleased with the decisions. This isn't about pleasing people. This isn't necessarily about making people happy. This is about helping people achieve and perform at their best, or helping them improve toward that end. You know, suppose you're feeling ill. You just don't feel well. You know something's wrong, but you really don't have any idea what it might be. You've got certain symptoms, and so you make an appointment to go see your doctor. Now, you want to hear your doctor, you want to hear her tell you that everything is fine, but you know everything is not fine. I mean, come on, you wouldn't be going to the doctor if everything were fine. You'd be pleased to hear that you've got, I don't know, an inner ear infection. You know, something that could be easily solved with antibiotics. Yeah, that'd be nice. But you'd only be pleased if that were the truth. What if the truth is grim? You still want to hear the truth? Of course you do. Even more so. This is your life. This is important to you. This is your health. You need to know what's going on and what options are available to solve this health problem, even if it may be grim. You want your doctor to properly diagnose you and to inform you no matter what. And so it goes with your leadership. Now, unfortunately, some leaders, they deceive their team. They withhold critical information that would help their team perform better, and they sabotage the success of others by behaving poorly. Listen, it's manifested in the boss that is just pitches a wall-eyed fit at every turn. Just is a walking, talking temper tantrum. Sabotaging everyone around them. Exclaiming that if it weren't for these moronic people in my life, I could perform better. Intentions don't matter. Poor tactics, poor habits, poor behaviors are without excuse. And I don't much care if ignorance is the cause. You know, I don't much care if an operator takes the notion that, well, it's the only way I know. Well, too bad. No organization that strives toward high performance should tolerate ineffective leadership. And yes, that means the A1 jerk. No organization that strives toward high performance should tolerate ineffective leadership. It's the responsibility of the organization to hire, to train, and to retain effective leaders. And if your company, if your team is not doing that, shame on you. And if you're not holding your leaders accountable, if you've got leaders that are disrupting the success of your people, don't blame your people. blame your leader. Part of this responsibility of the organization to hire, train, and retain effective leaders includes holding leaders accountable, because the truth matters. Doing the right thing is always the highest value proposition, just like the truth told by your doctor about your health. Is it ever proper for your doctor to lie to you about your health? No. No, it's unacceptable. It's inexcusable. I ask questions. I ask lots of questions, and I listen. I prompt further discussion. It's how I accomplish my work of helping and serving leaders. And so I pay attention. I pay attention to details. I pay attention to body language. I pay attention to words and phrases and looks and glances. And I pay attention to the stories that people tell me. And I pay attention to what is not said. And I'm very driven to help leaders improve because they impact so many lives. Men and women, young and old, are influenced by the boss. And that makes the work of every boss crucial to the welfare of not just the organization, but the lives, the individual lives of these people that they lead. If you're a leader, don't take that responsibility lightly. Don't take that casually, because it's important work. Leadership is a high-risk, high-value proposition. Your failure will negatively impact many, many people. And your success will change lives. The value proposition of effective leadership gives bosses an opportunity to, well, not just anybody's got that opportunity, but bosses do. And many people, they're clamoring to make a difference. Well, don't we all? Don't we all want to make a difference? If you're a leader, you're making a difference. Now, you might be making a difference for bad. I'm encouraging you to make a difference for good, and to do it no matter what. Go all in. Devote yourself to lifelong learning. Devote yourself to improving. Learn how to help people more effectively. Being a good boss isn't yelling, screaming, pitching a wall-eyed fit, micromanaging, breathing down people's necks. Good luck with all that. No, commit yourself to serving your team instead of acting like you are the one that everyone is to be served. No, you commit to serving. Serve your team. Serve your organization. Serve your boss. How about that? Serve your people. Serve your peers. Don't be stingy. Don't be egotistical. Stop fretting about who gets credit. Focus instead on helping other people do their very best work. I can tell you with great certainty that as a leader, that's where your value is built. Can't be avoided. Because it's apparent when a person is in charge who has a spirit that is driven by no matter what, it's apparent. The results are obvious. And the results are obvious if you don't roll that way too. So be that leader. Be that no matter what kind of a leader who's building value in not only your own career, but in the people that you serve and in your boss. Thanks for listening. That's episode 271. It's service. It's value. It's the no matter what approach to leadership. As I said, Bula, B-U-L-A Network, LLC is the company name. Bula is a Fiji term. It's analogous to aloha. It means both hello and goodbye. It also means life. In particular, it means life is good. I'm not from Fiji, never been to Fiji, but I came across the word about 30 years ago and began to use it in internal memos. Instead of saying hello or good morning, I would say Bula, B-U-L-A, with an exclamation mark. Yeah, I had to explain it at first, but didn't have to explain it twice. Everybody got it. So some years ago when I started the company, come on, you got to use that name, don't you? Well, I did. I am a boutique executive coaching and consulting firm. A lot more executive coaching these days than consulting, which is how I like it. You can go to the website, hirehumanperformance.com. There's an about page. There's a who I work with page. There's even a hire me page. yeah, no pricing, sorry. But you'll at least see the kind of work that I do. If all you need from me is the free podcast, that's excellent. I'm quite happy about that. But if there's anything that you think I might be able to do to serve you or your organization, reach out. There's a contact page and all kinds of social media icons as well. Higher Human Performance, the podcast, you can subscribe to it through iTunes or Stitcher, various and sundry ways to do that. There are links over at the website, higherhumanperformance.com. Thanks for listening.